Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In his chapter describing the problem with our tongue in James chapter 3, one of the chief complaints that Pastor James brings is the inconsistency of our tongues. Now, we're all aware of that. At least we're usually aware of it in others. We complain about people who talk out of both sides of their mouth. That's one of the expressions that we use. People who are nice to your face and will knife you behind your back. People who will say one thing on one occasion and the exact opposite on another occasion, and on it goes. We recognize this problem, and that's what James is dealing with when he's talking about the problems of inconsistency. He said in verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Shouldn't be that way. For a child of God, of course, we know that it ought to all be blessing. It shouldn't be all cursing, that's for sure. But it shouldn't be blessing and cursing either. There shouldn't be this inconsistency, this uncertain sound, this confusion. To be one way one time, another way another time. And most of the time, these inconsistencies are manifested most readily by our speech. We can be on our guard and so careful with our speech and so positive and wonderful with our speech in certain settings where we are watching our tongue very carefully because we don't want to be ill thought of. We don't want to have people think highly of us, but in another setting where it doesn't matter and where our guard is down and where we're with different people, it is an entirely different story. You wouldn't even think it was the same person. And James says, something's wrong. That's not the way it ought to be, brothers and sisters in Christ. And he gives four illustrations of inconsistency from nature to help us understand this better. And we looked at the first one yesterday, and we'll pick it up at number two and move along today on this Thursday, June 7. And thank you for helping us financially maintain the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Well, first of all, James points out the nature of a spring, and we saw that one yesterday. And it's simply this, that in nature, as God designed this world, if a spring is a good spring, it's always a good spring. The water that comes out of it is consistently good. Likewise, if you find a source of water where the water is bad, then the water that comes out of that is consistently bad. You just don't find in this realm of nature the kind of inconsistency that you find with the human tongue. But he goes on to give another illustration of verse 12, namely that of a fig tree. Verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Not in the world that I'm a part of. We don't have a lot of fig trees, but we do have some. We had a member of our church who's now with the Lord who from time to time would bring some figs to church for people to take. He had a fig tree and he would gather the fruit and bring it to church. I never in all those years ever knew him to have some figs and some olives in these sacks that he brought to church and say, I got both of these off of my fig tree. It doesn't work that way. He also had grapevines. This man was a a wonderful source of confirmation for the illustration that James gives us when he says, "Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grape vine bear figs?" He had grape vines, and he raised grapes, but as far as I know, he never picked a fig off of his grapevine any more than he ever picked an olive off of his fig trees. Why is that? Well, because the way God designed things in nature is that there is a consistency. Apple trees consistently bear apples. Pear trees consistently bear pears. And so forth. I don't have to extend that illustration. You understand it. And the picture, therefore, and now we've gotten to illustration 2 and 3, the nature of a spring, whatever kind of water comes out of that spring, it consistently produces the same kind of water. Whatever kind of fruit is born on the fig tree, which of course would be figs, it consistently bears that type of fruit and nothing else. Whatever are the grapes or are the fruit that grow on a grapevine, and we know that would be grapes, will consistently bear the same fruit year after year. There's never going to be any change, any inconsistency in that. And then finally, he gives the illustration of a pond when he says, "Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh," in the last part of verse 12. And I understand that maybe a more exact translation would be, "Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." He started out with a spring in verse 11. A fresh spring is not going to, at times, yield salt water, and a salt pond is not, at times, going to yield fresh water. If it's a salt pond, like you would find down at the coast, close to the ocean, but just a little bit in from the ocean, protected by the shore, but here is salty water, and you're not going to dip into that body of water. We might call it the Sound or something else, but a pond, a salt pond, you're not going to dip into that body of salty water one day and get salt water and dip into it the next day and get fresh. It just doesn't work that way. And the point is this, that in nature, as God created it, everything produces consistently according to its nature. In the physical world, everything produces consistently according to its nature, except man. Man is the one part of God's creation that is shamefully inconsistent, not always producing the same thing. Sometimes good, sometimes evil, sometimes gracious words, other times degrading words. And brothers and sisters, as James tells us, this ought not so to be. In fact, it is actually unnatural. And what it is an evidence on the one hand of man's original creation, but on the other hand of his fallen condition. And that's why man is this way. What James is describing here in the inconsistency of man's speech is just simply proof of two things. Number one, that man was originally created in the image of God, and that explains why at times such good and gracious speech comes out of his mouth. And man fell in the garden and has been born into this world in a state of sin and remains tainted by sin until he leaves this world. And so degrading things that come out of his mouth are an evidence of the fall. And what this is telling us is that there is something fundamentally wrong with man. Our words reveal our sinful heart. And therefore, we need to acknowledge the problem and recognize it, rather than denying it, rather than justifying it, rather than minimizing it, rather than excusing it, rather than saying, "Well, there's nothing wrong about that." Agree with God and confess it as sin. That's really what confession is. It is saying the same thing that God says. It is agreeing with God. Agree with God, confess your sin, ask God by the mercies of Christ and because of his death upon the cross to forgive you your sins, and ask him to help you to be consistently gracious and Christ-like. Yes, there's something fundamentally wrong with man, namely sin. And furthermore, we are unable to fix this problem by ourselves. Some, frankly, haven't even tried when it comes to speech. But those who have discovered the fundamental problem. Though we may try and try earnestly, we can't fix it. There's something wrong with man at the very root of his being, so much so that this problem cannot be fixed by human effort. And therefore, our unsanctified speech ought to be enough to drive us to Christ for rescue. We don't usually consider our speech to be the evidence of sin that drives us to Christ. We usually look at things that we consider to be more serious and let them show us our sin, if in fact we ever come to the place where we recognize sinful elements in our life that need to be cleansed by the blood of Christ. But James says we don't have to look for the biggies. We don't have to wait until we've fallen into adultery or committed murder or been arrested for stealing or embezzlement or something like that. No, just analyze your speech. Just be honest enough to recognize what's coming out of your mouth, and that should be enough to show you how much you need the grace of God. Our speech should drive us to Christ for rescue. Our speech should show us how much we need God's salvation provided only in Jesus Christ. Our speech should show Christians how much we need to progress in sanctification. Though cleansed by the blood of Christ and justified to the judgment bar of God, we still need further sanctification, more cleansing in our lives. How far yet we have to go in sanctification in order to please the Lord and in order to render a consistent Christian testimony. And that's why a prayer for help to control our speech ought to be part of our daily prayers. And that's why we should work very hard at spiritual disciplines for the disciplined life and depending upon the help of the Holy Spirit to enable us to speak that which is edifying, not that which is defiling. We should commit ourselves to no criticism, no gossip, no belittling, no lying, no boasting. We should commit ourselves to using our tongue for praying and singing and encouraging and witnessing and teaching and edifying others. That's what our tongue was created for. To pray to God, to praise God, to encourage and edify others, to witness to others of the greatness of God and the grace of God, to teach others the Word of God. That's what our tongue was created for. We need to go to God regularly and cast ourselves upon His mercy and seek from Him the help we need as believers to make our tongue consistently what it ought to be. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.